voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me. You got your rules in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Midweek Movie Podcast with Trehearne and Panther Joe. And I'm not going to say it again. We'll go to the papers if we have to. Panther, how you doing?
I'm pretty good after watching this movie. I think okay. I needed a chaperone to guide me through these legendary 12 rounds of this knuckleheaded movie.
Chloe.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you know who you are now, I guess? Is that...
Yeah, that's what I am. I'm a teacher, a writer, and a homo?
Who knows? What is the message behind this movie? We are bloggers. That's what we are.
We're blogging matters.
We're blogging matters. Oh, I dig that.
Yeah, so where's Ben and Pat? What's the deal with them?
Well, I think they're out on location today.
Okay.
Possibly learning how the 60s elementary school system worked. But they're running a little late, so we may not get to that segment of the podcast today.
Is that kind of like when Boss Hogg leaves the lowly, deputies at the office, and they just run amok?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's like, yeah, when Eunice, isn't that his name? Enos is like the deputy in Hazard County. Are you making a Dukes of Hazzard reference?
I believe so. Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Yeah, something like that. John Schneider. So, Joe, interesting news. We have a .com in the family now. Not just newmovies.com isn't the only one. We got a new one.
Yeah. Starting on the 6th of June, theplayingfieldblog.com launches, and it's gonna be blogtastic, I think. I don't know if there's gonna be many updates, but I'm making things look better slowly but surely over there.
All right. Yeah, I think a side blog within a blog for the TPF shorts or whatever.
coincidentally, TPF.com was going to cost me over $50,000 to procure, so.
Oh, you didn't go with that one?
I couldn't really afford it.
Maybe if you put TPF, I don't know, TPF Joe or something.
Yeah, it's maybe tough out there, man. People 30. Snatching up those domain names like they own the place.
Yeah, we really need to get into that business and just make a buttload of money on the second .com bubble.
But yeah, I think as for the interface, though, I think I made it a little tighter, added some more graphics, added a corgi corner at the bottom, because I'm a big proponent of corgis, the breed of dog.
I think you can make like a little slideshow gadget. I think it's possible, and you can just fill it with corgis.
I think one corgi a week is enough. It's corgi overload. You know, my fascination with that breed of dog really started when I watched The Girls Next Door.
Really?
Kendra actually had two. I forget what the other dog was, but one of them was a Welsh corgi, and I was like, wow, that dog is ridiculous. It's like a bigger, more exaggerated Dachshund.
Mine was Lobster Dog, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, and then...
with Lobster Dog's owner was pretty much...
And then, yeah, the guys at Warming Glow really punched it home, or, you know, let us have it. And really, you know, CorgiAddict.com is where you want to go for that kind of stuff.
Nice. Let's check that out. So let's play a little game before we get into the review of... Oh, we didn't even announce what movie we're talking about. We're talking about That's What I Am.
Well, I'm sure people listening will see the banner when they open it.
If you can't read, if you're illiterate, and you can only absorb information through podcast, then the movie we're going to be reviewing today is That's What I Am.
Yeah, do you want to talk about have you been watching anything new lately, Tyler? You know, media consume style?
I just plan to record a Dungeon Siege movie with Jason Statham off of Sci-Fi. So, talk to me in like 24 hours and we'll see where I am.
Yeah, I am, actually, maybe later I might be going to see X-Men.
Oh, okay, First Class.
And checking out my first Jen Lawrence big screen movie. I'm pretty excited.
Oh man, there's going to be a lot of blue skin.
Oh, that is, it is, she is awesome. She, man, she is so awesome. I'm, you know, meekly considering backtracking and watching the Bill Engvall show. But I don't know quite yet.
People from Tennessee are all like this.
Exactly. Oh, and Sunday, legendary UF Gator and Broncos quarterback of the future, Tim Tebow, is coming to Gainesville to do his book signing.
Oh, yeah, you're going to stop by and tell him what for?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to check out the scene, and maybe if I can get an autographed book, I think it would make a decent Father's Day gift. What do you think about that, Tyler?
I'm not a father, so I don't know. Plus, okay. I thought Tebow should have gone to Jacksonville, so whatever.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought he was going to crash and burn in the NFL, but yeah. Now with the predicament that the Broncos are in and their three whole wins last year... I think they'd be stupid not to start him. And there's already talks in camp if, you know, there's a season this year or even next year that he's going to take the starting job from Kyle Orton.
Oh, Orton's going to be so pissed.
But other than that, I just started checking out Freaks and Geeks, the NBC show from, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago. Have you heard about this? Have you seen this?
No, I haven't. And I'm probably going to watch it before I die, let's say that.
I really thought it was going to be kind of lame, because some of the stuff Judd Apatow is associated with, I don't really like.
Right.
What was it? What was the one called Knocked Up?
Yeah.
That was, I hated Knocked Up. But then other stuff, like the Pineapple Express was great, and that had James right. Franco, and this had James Franco.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what his, I think Judd Apatow just produced it, so he didn't write any of the episodes or directed it.
Right.
But it's pretty funny.
Aren't there only like 10 episodes?
There's 18 one-hour episodes in the first season, and then NBC canceled it.
Okay. So Perfect Couples didn't make it that far. It had more episodes than most shows get to nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of content. It's 42-minute episodes.
Right.
So they divvy up the discs. I mean, you get three a disc, three episodes per disc. And I just finished episode 6.
Okay. So almost.
And Jason Segel, or Segal? How do you say that guy's last name?
Segal.
Jason Segel, James Franco, and Linda Cardellini are all great in it.
Is there a lot of teen angst?
Yeah, there's a lot of teen angst. There's the geek part of the show. Those kids are okay, I guess.
Yeah. I always used to just watch Beavis and Butthead. That's how I got my teen angst out.
the main geek, which is Linda Cardellini's little brother, I think his name is... Well, it doesn't really matter what his name is, but he's like a 100-pound dweeb, and he's okay. Mm-hmm. But one of the sidekicks is pretty funny.
Is it anything like That's What I Am, where there's a lot of bullying?
Yeah, there's a lot of bullying. There's a lot of that kind of difficult themes dealt with, but it was all kind of laced with good humor. It wasn't tightly packaged as I would have liked, but it's still, you know, there are those moments that take you back to high school where you just kind of cringe and you're like, oh god.
Yeah.
Kind of like what we saw in That's What I Am.
Oh, okay, good. So it's kind of a foreshadowing to what we'll be talking about later. Anything else?
That's about it. That's the long of it, Tyler.
You gonna play a game?
Yeah, I'm drunk already. Let's do it.
What's up my cue?
Up my Netflix?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I think up my cue is a little, how do we say,
vulgar? Yeah. Yeah,
we're trying to get the, you know, like WWE, they try and keep that PG rating to get the more kids involved. They're going to buy the merchandise?
No, I'm more like Temple of Doom that pushes the PG-13 rating.
I want kids to buy the Not Just New Movies podcast merchandise.
Oh, yeah, like the You know, the Ben P. action figure.
Yeah, or the Pat poster.
With the Bluetooth accessories.
Yeah, and the Elizabeth Rapp Barbie doll.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever you want, Tyler.
Just because she's a girl, she's going to have a Barbie doll? Why can't she have...
Yeah, well, we're in the 60s right now. Like, we're sexist as hell.
Like the Elizabeth Rapp wrestling pillow or something like that? I don't know.
No, man, it's the 60s. We don't know any better.
All right. So, you got a couple movies in your queue. Let's see if I can keep up my over 500 record of getting these correct. Okay,
all right, Tyler. Welcome to In My Netflix. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, I'm going to give you two movies, one of which is currently in my Netflix. The other, I'm not even considering.
Okay.
This is the first round. This is worth 5 million points.
Okay.
In my queue is either Viggo Mortensen's The Road or the live-action Justin Timberlake Yogi Bear.
You made such a big deal about watching Yogi Bear when it came out in the theaters. Does this include... Does this include Instant Watch or Instant Watch and DVD queue?
These can be either Instant Watch or DVD.
Okay. Yogi Bear or The Road. I haven't really heard you talk about What's-Her-Name.
Have you heard The Road? Have you heard of The Road? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
I have heard of The Road, yes. And I think I'm going to go with that one. I think that's the one that's in your queue. The Road with Viggo Mortensen.
Yogi Bear.
Oh, God.
How could you be so foolish?
It's funny because Justin Timberlake plays Boo Boo.
I love Anna Faris and I love Justin Timberlake.
No Dan
Aykroyd
love?
And I used to watch Yogi Bear cartoon, so I thought, even though I've heard such bad things about this, I really can't resist the force.
Yeah, in this podcast, Doug Loves Movies, he had on TJ Miller, who was a pretty awesome comedian. I guess he's in
Yogi
Bear.
The guy that cameoed the last episode of Happy Endings.
Yeah, and he's in Yogi Bear, and they gave him a lot of guff for it. And it was, I don't know, it might be funnier talking bad about it than actually watching the movie, but good luck to you.
George Lopez really liked it.
He also wants to play Speedy Gonzalez.
All right, so you did not win the first round, but you can advance on to the second round if you redeem yourself right here. Or
okay.
The third.
The third round, yeah.
And maybe the bonus round for extra.
Cadbury eggs.
In my queue, right now, is either I Am Number 4 or Drive Angry.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Have you heard about these movies? Do you know what these are about?
Have I heard? Yes. Yes, I have. Okay. Drive Angry, Nicolas Cage, I Am Number 4 with a bunch of teenagers. Possibly the sequel to The Lightning Thief. I don't know. They all look the same.
The prequel to... No. The sequel, the follow-up to That's What I Am.
That's
we later
what
find
I am
out he's number 4.
I thought That's What I Am, Sam, Number 4.
That's a trilogy right there.
Ooh. Sean Penn returns as his pivotal role as Sam. I'm going to go Drive Angry. Drive Angry. Nicholas
that Cage. Is correct, Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
Nicolas Cage and Amber Heard, who's one of my favorite actresses right now.
Congratulations.
That movie. I'm excited.
Yeah, I talk to her a lot. I go, hey, how was Nicolas Cage? And, you know.
Although I Am Number 4 does feature Teresa Palmer, who's supposed to be decent?
Acting-wise?
Yeah, I think she's all of like 70 pounds, though, but, you know, she can hold her own, and she's Australian.
All right. Your word against mine.
So that's one correct. You advanced to the third round.
Sweet. Third round's where I make my money.
All right, we got a couple graphic novel / comic book movies here.
Okay, all right.
So this one might be a little more tough. In my queue right now is either Jonah Hex or the Green Hornet.
Ooh. I actually saw.
Granted,
Jonah
I've
Hex.
Never read any of those novelizations.
Yeah, neither. Well, I haven't read any Jonah Hex. Saw Jonah Hex in theaters. Pretty good. I would suggest to you.
Did you like it? A lot of people hated it.
Yeah, a lot of people hated it. I thought it was stupid, but I liked it anyway. But I'm going to guess Green Hornet is in your queue.
Sorry, Tyler. It is Jonah Hex. I really...
Chill.
I'm not going to say it's up in my queue real far, but it's there.
Alright.
I was kind of intrigued by the whole guy with the missing part of his mouth and just shooting people.
I thought maybe the Freaks and Geeks had bled into your comic book, you know, with the...
Seth Rogen connection?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe one day, but I don't know, it seems like... I'm getting confused right now with the Green Hornet and the Green Arrow and the Green Lantern. What's this all about?
It's all good, because Seth Rogen isn't really that funny anyway.
Do they work as a team? Is it the Green Team?
Well, they're just really jealous of each other, let's say that.
Because Green Hornet kind of sounds like a dick from the previews.
He just doesn't mind his own business. I like imagining Green Hornet as a film noir from the 1940s character, where he's just, you know, he talks like the guy from Scarlet Street.
Okay, for cat's sake!
Hey, what's up, Lazy Leg? I'm gonna shoot you now.
Alright, so Tyler, even though you missed 2 out of 3, I'm really ashamed of that. You're really good at this game. You're just having an off night. You're having one of those Kobe LeBron 16-pointers.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go to the papers.
I'm gonna allow you to play the bonus round.
Sweet.
This is for all the marbles. This is for big flips, honor, respect, hustle, loyalty.
For the truth, even?
Right now. And this is a guarantee. This is a top 5 in my queue right now as we speak.
Oh, shit.
I think getting it within the next few weeks. Is it Black Swan or Burning Palms?
Black Swan, Mila Kunis, boom.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
I don't think... I'm going to go to my deathbed saying I'm never going to see Black Swan. It is Burning Palms with Zoe Saldana and...
Oh my gosh. Didn't you read Ben's review of that? He said it's utterly terrible.
Yeah, explainable. The movie's Ben dismisses sometimes, I embrace.
You're that guy, you take them when they're down, when they've been rejected.
Almost like someone who runs the orphanage, you know?
Yeah.
Ben just craps all over them, and I gotta console them for their... And it sounded like a movie he didn't like because it was too edgy.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, something
probably
that...
Probably all the rape.
And Ben, I can get on board with that.
Yeah, it's probably all the rape.
Yeah, rape and racist grandmas, man. Let's do it.
Woo!
But yeah, Natalie Portman... Pretty awful. Still pretty rocking, but
whatever, dude. I haven't seen Black Swan either, so
yeah. Go to your deathbed, Tyler. That's gonna be
no, man. I don't know. I really dig ballet movies. I'm not gonna lie.
Ballet movies?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Just because it was nominated for Best Picture doesn't mean it's good, Tyler.
I just don't understand how they can dance on their toes like that. Ugh.
I don't know. I think I saw 3 of the movies nominated this past year, and I hated all of them.
Yeah, I think I saw one. I saw The Social Network. I saw 1 out of 10. I saw 10% of the movies from last year.
Yeah, Winter's Bone was just some kind of bad.
All right.
Poor gentleman.
Maybe we'll have a Winter's Bone podcast someday.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you feel down for it, but I'm warning you, Tyler, there's a lot of meth.
All right, so speaking of getting down, let's get down on this movie review of ours that we've shambled together. Let's play that trailer.
I am a teacher. That's what I am.
I'm a singer. That's what I am.
I am a writer. That's what I am.
This is the story of my 8th grade year.
She's the kind of girl.
It is a tale of love's first awkward steps.
I'll help you with something, bud.
Hi, Mary. Your dad was just... She said she thinks you're cute. I don't ask me why.
You gonna kiss her?
Yeah, of course I'm gonna kiss her.
You've never made out before, have you?
It's a lesson about fitting in and learning from those who don't.
You'll be working in teams of two. Mr. Nickel will be working with Mr. Miner.
I know you don't want to work with me. I can do the work and you can turn it in. Your friends don't have to know.
We have to do it together. When your back's to the wall. Do you know where Big G is? He's down in the corner waiting for his crotch to dry.
I can't make them be nice people.
Why would God make someone look like Big G so that everyone makes fun of him?
Maybe because God didn't see anything wrong with him in the first place.
And this is a story of struggle.
Apparently, there's a rumor.
I'll go to the papers if I have to.
As soon as I can say that you deny it, then I will stand right beside you and fight.
Sometimes, you just need someone to tell you that you can.
I should have done something. I should have tried to help you.
Teaching is a labor of love.
You may be the bravest guy I know.
Stanley has something most people will never have. Dignity.
Please don't disappoint me.
Eighth grade. The year that defined who I was to become.
All right, and we're back. Wait. All right, we're back. Joe, initial thoughts on That's What I Am?
Hold on, Tyler.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to edit this out. I had the volume all turned all the way down. And I was wondering why you were so soft.
Initial thoughts on the movie, go.
I liked it. I didn't think I was going to like it because it clearly didn't showcase Randy Orton in any sort of facet except for dropping a line that we've become all too familiar with. I will go to the papers if I have to.
I will go to the papers if I have to.
I'll go to the papers if I have to.
Which really, and the TV trailers really made it, you know, they really disguised the fact of what this movie is really about. You know, we were kind of thinking, you know, going back and forth, like, is Ed Harris's character, is he raping kids? What's going on here?
Yeah, that was kind of the feeling in my stomach when I started the movie. I was like, it's going to be one of these movies where I feel really dirty at the end of it. But, yeah, they managed to, yeah, like you said, I mean, it was a good movie and there were good characters, but, what other like things did you kind of think the movie was going to be about that it didn't turn out to be, or maybe it did turn out to be?
It was pretty much what I expected. I thought in the WWE universe, they're really pushing the anti-bullying campaign.
Yeah.
And that's really what this was about. You know, you've got a very large, disproportioned protagonist nicknamed Big G, the G standing for Ginger. I mean, he's like 8 feet tall in middle school and he's got bright orange hair and possibly prosthetically enhanced ears. I don't know. Did you think that kid's ears were real?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I think I saw where his ear ended and the fake ears began at one point.
So he's one of the kids in school that gets tormented and bullied probably daily. And the one main kid in school, Andy Nickel, is
Justin Bieber, let's call him.
Justin Bieber is tagged with Big G to do this report by their teacher. Tag in! By their teacher, Mr. Simon, who's played by Ed Harris.
He did a really good job.
Yeah, he really wants the kids to, you know, come together and you know, this is an opportunity to really get to know each other. Because Ed Harris's character is really, he's not with the bullying.
No, he's not down with the bullying.
I think he really sets the table after that scene where, I don't know if you were kind of shocked by this, it was probably the worst scene in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The little kid Friel is beating the girl in the back lot.
Yeah,
I know
that
this
was
is
one of the worst scenes in the movie.
I know this is the 60s, but he is just unrelentingly whipping this poor little girl with her with his jacket.
Yeah.
The train of thought being that the more he whipped her, the less cooties he would have.
Yeah, I mean, I remember being a kid, and cooties, I guess maybe it was the 60s, because everyone was stupid, apparently, because that's what the movie tries to portray. And, like, cooties is, like, a legitimate disease to these kids.
Yeah, they didn't... No, it was the 60s. Like, they had...
Yeah.
They had the portrait of JFK. They didn't know what homos, black people, or... Yeah, or like, medical terms were.
Yeah.
And
it was pretty hard to watch. And I'm glad, like, at least nowadays we try to teach kids, you know, some type of dignity and some type of intelligence so that they can hopefully accept others regardless of what they look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, the WWE, yeah, they're doing that to be a star campaign where it is anti-bullying, even though most of their programming consists of people bullying each other.
Yeah, actually, and, both brands, TNA runs the promos, yeah, too, and they're called Eliminate the Hate, and,
yeah,
you know, I think the funniest part was one of their main actors, Jeff Hardy, is, you know, a guy who talks about, like, ending people's lives,
yeah,
and taking their souls, and then the commercial will run, and he'll be like, don't be a bully, eliminate right. the hate.
But he's still wearing, like, his greasy hair and his black jacket and real dark, and he's like, don't be a bully.
He's got the pantyhose on his arms.
Yeah. Well, as corny as those commercials are, I think this movie did a really good job of sailing that point home and actually, you know, actually, based on the kids and the characters, it was like, yeah, bullying is stupid. Like, why do it? Why even joke about it? But I guess it is entertainment, so... but the whole thing was like these kids got away with murder basically while these teachers kind of stood around.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents kind of didn't say anything. And so I think the movie did a really good job of, you know, making a point, you know, do something about it, like step up and say something or step up and shove that kid up against the wall, but don't do anything or something like that, you know, do something instead of do nothing. So
yeah, I really thought Mr. Simon's character, Ed Harris, was really well written, because
well, it was based on true events.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what it said at the beginning.
Wow.
Although that can be taken any which way. It could be this is the actual events, or something like this happened and then we, you know, flowered it up for movie purposes.
I have to look that up, because it, you know, when we really get to know the teacher. And this is a little bit of a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
The initial accusation, well, the rumor that's going around is that the teacher, Mr. Simon, is a quote-unquote homo. And
short for homosexual.
Half the kids don't even know what that word means. They just think it's something that he shouldn't be. It's,
yeah.
They know it's a derogatory remark, but it's that whole, like, oh, yeah, he's a homo, right? And not really knowing what they're talking about.
Something they learn from their parents, no less.
And eventually, the word gets around to the principal, and she confronts him. And it's at that point you really question, you know, is the character gay or not?
Right.
And I think that's really left up to the viewer to decide.
Well, the whole meaning behind that is he doesn't deny it, and he doesn't say he is either, because it doesn't matter. That's the whole point of the movie.
Exactly.
Regardless of who you are personally, it doesn't matter, because you have your work and your actions to show for who you really are. So, like, and, you know, like, my teaching work, 12 years of teaching at this school, that, the, you know, and this stupid Randy Orton character comes along, and he can go to the papers and ruin everything he's done with one false remark, or one with no evidence, and just say, oh, yeah, he's homosexual, he's teaching our kids, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I think the idea that, you know, he doesn't come out and say he's homosexual, he's not homosexual, it's, you know, it doesn't matter. That's kind of, that's what the whole movie's about, so.
Yeah, and the premise of those accusations were kind of chilling, because there are still some pockets of, very large pockets of our country that would still believe that, and, you know, they brought up the whole morality and Bible argument of why this guy shouldn't be teaching their children, and there's, I guarantee there's people that believe that stuff.
Yeah, no, there is. Yeah, there's definitely still, a stigma behind it. It just, we just need to And it's good that movies like this are out there because, and, you know, organizations like X the Hate and stuff like that are out there because, you know, it is. It's like actions versus words. Like, who's to say who a person is as opposed to what that person actually does for the community or does for kids or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the movie's trying to solve the world's problems, basically, so we can't say anything bad about it. Well, we can't. Yeah. We can't say too much about it.
And he was a class act the whole movie, and he even they even got him flowers, like a ton of flowers for his car when he went away.
And he let that kid kick Ricky in the balls.
Yeah, the nook.
Ooh yeah.
A nut shot. I didn't know if that was legal back then.
Woo!
That
dirtiest
is not
player
a,
in the game.
That is not a manly move on Andy's part.
Did this movie at all remind you of that old show with Fred Savage, The Wonder Years?
No, that's interesting you bring that up. I mean, a little bit, but I'm going to tell you right now, we just talked about Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
And Freaks and Geeks actually reminded me of a lot of The Wonder Years with a little more edgier format. You know, this takes place in, I think The Wonder Years took place in the late 60s.
Yeah.
And Freaks and Geeks takes place in the early 80s, like 1980.
Okay.
And yeah, this is right around 1965. Was JFK president in 1965?
No, it was Lyndon Johnson. Kennedy had been assassinated by then. He'd been assassinated in 1963. But they still revered him as like one of their greatest presidents.
Because I noticed in the classroom they had they had his picture and it said JFK, and I didn't know if people actually called him that back then.
Yeah, they did. And if you notice in the administrative office, there was a picture of LBJ or Lyndon Johnson, who was then president.
Well, people were pretty hip back then, I guess, because everyone else in that movie were kind of hard asses.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. There was kind of the subplot story of the Nickel and his dad. Which was kind of disheartening because, you know, the dad was just trying to raise his son. You know, he wasn't really doing anything mean or bad. He wasn't hitting him or talking, like, making fun of him or, you know, beating him down verbally or anything. But it was more of like a coming of age where he's just like, hey, dad, step off.
Let me
do my shit.
Yeah, neither father or son was in the wrong because you said it right where he just wants him to do it right the first time to save him, you know, to make him a better civilian, if you will.
Right.
You know, if you do better work, you'll put that towards a better life in theory.
Yeah.
And this starts with, you know, mowing the grass correctly and not, I just kind of liked that there was that one scene where he had the model airplane and then the dad just kind of, I don't know if grown men still played with model airplanes, but he just took it from his son and was like, I'm going to finish this.
Yeah, you're not doing it right.
Go do your homework.
Yeah.
What?
Even though it was a small subplot, I thought it was kind of I don't think they should have gotten rid of it. I think it was all right where it was.
Yeah. What did you think about the kids in this movie, the child actors? I know you and Ben are not fans of children. What was your overall experience with the student body?
There were, I would say half and half. Half were good, half were, you know, pretty much child actors. Like Nickel's friend that he would walk to school with who runs away when Ricky comes.
Norman.
Yeah, Norman. He runs away like a yellow-bellied bitch.
That guy was kind of annoying.
Yeah, he was kind of a douchebag. And then,
but he was really the only guy I
it wasn't Norman. No, the kid Nickel would walk home with. The one they was like, you're going to go make out with Mary? You're insane!
the black guy?
Yeah, the black guy.
Okay.
Yeah, Norman also was kind of an unbearable character because these kids are in 8th grade or something, although they didn't look like they were in 8th grade. They looked like they were a little younger. Kids don't talk like that. He's talking about, like, you know, how this kid makes it worse for them and stuff. Like, he's talking about, like, a proletariat class system or something. where he's, like, the abused class at this school, and I don't know. It's just kids. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I guess maybe because I was dumb, but I don't remember thinking, you know, you would avoid the dickheads and then just hang out with the people that, you know, wouldn't beat you up.
I think it was a lot tougher back then. And they showcased that with the, I think it was called the Cootie Corner or the Geek Corner.
Yeah, the Geek Corner.
And that's where all the outcasts of the class would go and study to kind of get away from the bullies, because the bullies and other kids actually thought that once you stepped into that parcel of land,
right,
you were infected with cooties.
Right, which even when I was in like second grade, I think I've laughed at the idea of cooties, even though
yeah,
should have. You know, Mary is played by, let me go to my IMDb, Mia
Frampton.
Rose.
Is that a Frampton child?
Yeah, she's the daughter of Peter Frampton.
Wow, how old is Peter Frampton?
I don't know.
He must have fathered her when he was like 60.
Yeah, I don't know the date of his birth, but I'm sure if I did some more research I could find out. But yeah, that's pretty cool.
No, that's did you verify that
on IMDb?
It's not like a made up Hugh Laurie is the grandson of Peter Laurie.
Even though the names are spelled different.
Yeah, it was a clerical error at Ellis Island.
yes.
And I think Hugh Laurie is British, but whatever.
Whatever. I think Peter Laurie was British too. I don't know. Anyway, what did you think of the child actors, I guess?
Yeah, I thought
on that.
I thought Big G, who's played by a guy named Alexander Walters, who by his biopic doesn't look like a real ginger.
False
like
advertisement.
They really geeked him up for that role.
False advertisement.
Yeah, I thought he was, even though he did come off, like you said, well-spoken, I don't think that was too out of reach, because he was, you know, he seemed like a guy that would study a lot and was probably a couple grades ahead of his time.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't have a problem with his performance at all or his character. I thought he was just kind of the silent hero, I suppose.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the one that's going to step up and, like, defend everybody, but he's also not going to be, you know, completely whipped to obscurity or anything.
Yeah, exactly. But the kid that played Norman, I think there was one of the earlier scenes where he just blasts off and starts yelling about something, and I'm like, get off stage, kid.
Yeah.
And then luckily we don't see him for the next, like, 45 minutes until the end.
The other kid I didn't like was Randy Orton's son, Friel, whatever. Yeah. The kid that whipped the girl with his jacket.
Yeah, I think once that came around, I don't think anybody was particularly rooting for him.
No, I think he at least, I never saw Ricky beat a girl, so if anything, between the main bully and Friel needed his ass kicked immediately.
I kind of lost track of the other bullies. There were like two or three guys that looked like characters from Grease. You know,
you want to come into our territory?
Yeah, there was the main guy.
Go back to Geek Corner, you losers.
There was the main guy, Ricky. I think he had a henchman, and then there was like another older guy that was like the hustler and was like, oh, I got these ID bracelets.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the hustler, the guy with the shit in his jacket.
Yeah, he would like unfurl his jacket and he'd have like Twinkies and gold. Laced.
You need a little Debbie oatmeal cookie? $14. I guess they didn't have vending machines back in the 60s either. You had to buy it from a kid.
Even though this was a feel-good movie, what did you think about the Mary character, the lead female student who Andy's trying to go steady with?
Yeah, apparently she's the only girl other than the nerdy girl that exists at this school.
She doesn't mention, really.
Well, you can't really say that. She's, because she wasn't actually, like, you know, sleeping with any of them. She just made out and timed how long the kiss lasted.
That was the sleeping of their day. She went around making out with the whole eighth grade, man.
I guess, yeah, swap and spit is the eighth grade equivalent of whatever adults do. I don't know. They made a point of her of saying that she has made out with every guy, and so by process of elimination, she gets to the main character at last.
Yeah, which really, I don't think that's a very good message.
Well, you know, it's eighth grade again. The kids aren't grown up yet.
Because initially, when
it's
the story
like
started,
she's not mean or anything. She's really nice. She's just
When the story started, you would have thought Andy was kind of one of the cool kids, but then he starts.
Yeah, he's somewhere in the middle, yeah.
And he starts a tweener, if you will.
Yeah, whatever.
Then you start talking to girls, and then he completely shuts down and becomes, I don't know, he becomes a, you know, one of the geeks, one of the kids they make fun of.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where you stood, but I stood somewhere in that middle area. I was like the middle class in grade school, middle school.
Oh, that whole scheme where he tries to purposely miss her door with his newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
He has the newspaper out. That's brilliant. Totally would have done something like that and never talked to her again. I would have been like, okay, what's up?
Oh, hey, hey. Yeah, I would do stupid shit too to get girls' attention. So I can't blame him for acting like an idiot.
And then I guess he totally wasn't offended by the whole you got to have an ID bracelet to make out, or I've made out with half of Chicago or California, wherever they lived.
Yeah, that was just like the the business, man.
What was up with that whole ID bracelet thing?
I don't know. I think it might have been like a class ring sort of thing to show that you were dating someone. I don't know. I like the idea of him trading his Mickey Mantle cards and then being worth $100,000.
Yeah, right when he said that, I knew that. I was like, oh, God, Jesus Christ, kid. Because I think he traded three of them.
I traded some kid Curtis Joseph hockey cards that were autographed.
Oh, Cujo.
Yeah, so I remember doing that as well.
Really hope my Tim Tebow autograph book is worth that much. I didn't get it.
You should get a trading card for him to sign. let's quickly close.
Let's talk about the reason we saw this movie.
Yeah, exactly. Randy K. Orton, third generation wrestler, I believe.
And his 6 minutes of airtime in this movie.
4 minutes, I would say. Me and Panther had a little bet, or whatever you want to call it, a little estimation of how long Randy Orton would be in the movie. And we said plus or minus 4 minutes. Joe went plus over 4 minutes. I think it was about 4 minutes. Joe, you disagree with me?
If you're gonna measure it by how long the camera was on Randy Orton's face, then it was definitely less than 4 minutes. But his two extended scenes, which were pretty brilliant scenes, I thought for what we were working with, were over 4 minutes, up to 6 to 7 minutes, including when he dropped the line, he's talking about the dangers of having a homosexual in the workplace.
Right.
And he says something like...
And then he lunges at the principal.
You know, they can get married to cover their tracks. After the principal was like, he was married and his wife passed away a couple decades ago.
Yeah. Would it be a dick, Orton?
But then again, it's the 60s, man, and you were allowed to say things like that.
Yeah, it was, he came out of nowhere, because he didn't look like any other character in this 1960s environment. Like, he had the shaved head, and, like, the rippling neck muscles, like everyone else was kind of, like, frumpy with their hair kind of oiled.
I think what they did was they made him a mechanic, so he was kind of a blue-collar guy.
Yeah, he lifts axles.
That's
for a living.
He's pretty much the donkey of the 60s.
Hence the backward thinking on homosexuals.
And they covered up his tattoos so he looked a little more legitimate.
Yeah, if anything, he's probably a danger to the community than more so than Mr. Simon.
Yeah.
Will lunge at women, threatening to beat them up.
One of my favorite scenes was when they first started, you know, whispering about him being a homo.
Right.
And then they cut to the class, and Mr. Simon does that thing where he kind of, I don't know, slides or moonwalks into the classroom.
Ta-da.
Really, really flamboyantly, and you're just like, oh, God.
He really, other than that, he really didn't do anything flamboyant. I mean, I try to slide into rooms like that from time to time just because I think it's awesome. But
And like I said, I think the way the writers left it is kind of up for interpretation.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't matter, that was the whole message. You know, clearly he, you know, he could have denied it to the teacher just for, right. just for, you know, legal sake, but not said anything to the students.
Yeah, but it was his human dignity that, you know, prevented him from saying one way or another.
And they also had that little bit where he won the car in that contest and was taking the kids out for rides.
Yeah, I thought that might be a problem.
You know, I could see some parents having a problem with.
It was the 60s, though.
Just hearing about it. You know, you don't see what's, you know, clearly he was just chauffeuring them around the block. But when a parent hears, like, oh, he's taking my kids out for rides, what's with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I used to, you know, driver's ed back in high school. It's probably no different from that.
Yeah, but he was an English teacher who was reading Shakespeare and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. Joan of Arc.
Frolicking into rooms and wearing bow ties.
He would slide in the room. He didn't frolic. What did you think of his formula?
He did the jazz hands, Tyler. They were really pushing home the point that he might be a little weird.
It's all about his actions, dude. Look at his work. What did you think of his formula for world peace? Human dignity plus compassion equals peace, which actually won him the car.
Yeah, I could. Yeah,
do you
I could get
any
on
more variants that? To that. Do you want to add any more, like, you know, automatic weapons?
I'd like to add education in there too.
Oh, that's a good one.
You can't just have a bunch of idiots running around and saying, "Hey, what's up? High five!"
Yeah.
High five, guys.
Oh, he looks up to him as a role model. We don't want him teaching our kids.
And really, these people were just coming off black players being able to play in baseball for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the parents, not the children, obviously, but...
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, man, guys!
If you think about, and this didn't really come up, it came up a little bit, like the civil rights, I guess, a little bit of it. But I guess they were in California, but it was like 10 years between 1954 and 1964 was like kind of the end of segregation.
Yeah.
So, you know, there a lot of public schools in the South, at least. The South was kind of the last states to actually desegregate completely. But the latest was 1964. Like, the courts came out and said, you're completely going to desegregate now. Like, there's no more... delaying it. And so, I mean, if this movie had taken place in another state, perhaps, I think it would have been a lot different as far as, like, the racial issues. But we didn't, yeah, we saw more, it wasn't race, and they make a point of it when Big G and Nickel are talking about the theme of their paper, like, prejudice versus tolerance. I thought was an interesting part of the movie, where, you know, prejudice, he makes a point of saying prejudice is, you know, different things to different people. It's a different meaning to different people, as opposed mm-hmm. to tolerance, where it's like, tolerance is like a universal meaning where, you know, you're just, you know, you don't have to like the other person, whether they be a different color or a different religion or a different ethnicity or a different, you know, whatever, you know, you're tolerating them regardless. You know, you don't even have to like them. You just have to let them be, let them live, let them do their work, let them go to their job and all this stuff.
Yeah, I took a semester-long class called religious tolerance or something like that.
Yeah.
A few years ago, and they would actually make us, you know, choose, you know, they would do this thing where you would tell them your denomination beforehand.
Right.
And then you would have to go to different services of...
Oh, wow.
Of different religions for the class. And
wow. Interesting.
It actually made me hate more people by the end, but...
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Yeah, and I think if we're talking about that formula, I think tolerance would be a good addition to that.
Yeah, but it kind of worked itself out because it, you know, people as more people wised up to the world around them.
Yeah.
It became less of an issue. And you know, luckily I live in somewhat of an area where, you know, I live in a liberal-oriented college town where
yeah,
that mostly everybody kind of gets along.
Yeah, and I was hoping that at the end of the movie, everybody kind of had what you're talking about, kind of had a realization or learned something at least. You know, I didn't see Randy Orton's character at the talent show, although he probably should have been there because, you know, he's the one character kids are looking up to. It would have been nice to have him at least learn something at the end of the movie, but again...
No, man, he had carburetors to work on. Beers to drink.
I'm working late again. Can this wait?
Yeah. I love the little... There's a little... this is one of those movies that does a... what do you call them? Wrap-ups or epilogues for the characters?
Oh, yeah. The where are they now?
Yeah, where are they now? And the one... You know, this doesn't spoil too much of it, but the one kid, Jason Friel, Randy Orton's son, who starts the rumor, was said to have smoked a disproportionate amount of marijuana and never heard from again.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
While most everyone else was kind of had a happy ending.
Yeah, Mary was a sex ed teacher who had been married 4 times.
Yeah, I kind of like how they made it realistic, and, you know, you would think that maybe Big G and Alan, or I'm sorry, Andy, you know, we'd be like, oh, and then we were the best of friends, but really, realistically,
yeah,
they never, you know, after a couple of years, they never really heard from each other again.
Right. But him and Big G and Norman were still friends, according to the credits. They were still, like, you know, Norman was teaching at Harvard, and he was still friends with Big G.
Oh, okay.
Or Stanley, as he's called.
Stanley, yes. We should probably stop calling him Big G.
Yeah, the whole message was don't call people by what they look like. That's What I Am, directed and written by Michael Pavone, starring Ed Harris, Chase Ellison, and Molly Parker. Joe, any final thoughts?
Yeah, check this out with your family or something. Definitely a feel-good story. Gets a little, maybe a slight tearjerker at the end for some people.
Yep.
I felt my eyes moisten a little bit at the end. You know,
Trahern's not ashamed to admit the same.
Yeah, pretty good.
I had the same feeling. Check it out; it's a family movie. Compared to the other WWE produced films that we've seen, Knucklehead, Legendary, The Chaperone, and now That's What I Am. Do you think collectively WWE is doing a good job of making family friendly movies with some type of substantial message behind them?
Oh, definitely. I, you know, before we watched this, I really wanted to tell myself that I wasn't going to like this movie and that I really wish there was some sort of off branch that the WWE could do to where they had more adult content, something more like TNA,
mm-hmm.
which is more violence and chair shots and whatever. But I can't argue that this was a decent story and probably surpassed what I thought of The Chaperone.
Yeah.
Which is probably the one up until now that I like the most out of 12 rounds, Legendary, Knucklehead, and... Well, See No Evil was god-awful.
Okay.
Have you seen that one yet?
No.
It's the one Kane did in, like, 2004 or something.
Okay.
It's a pretty bad horror movie.
All right, so yeah, check it out. It's on Instant Watch, DVD, Blu-ray, digital copy, iPad, iPod, iPad 2, all that stuff. To close
the
out,
Zune.
The Zune. I don't even know if they play video. Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What are we watching next week?
Well, let me tell you what we're watching this week for the Not Just New Movies podcast. We're watching Slither with Elizabeth Banks and Nathan Fillion.
Who is Nathan Fillion?
He's a fairly popular actor among the movie geek community.
I'm going to take a wild stab at this. Was he in Mouse Hunt?
No, that was Nathan Lane.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't believe I knew that. I'm pretty proud of myself. Yeah, Nathan Lane is the guy that does Broadway. Nathan Fillion's the guy that does Castle on ABC. He was also in Serenity and Firefly, that science fiction show that was canceled. I knew you wouldn't respond to that at all. Check that out. This is probably going to drop Wednesday next week, so it doesn't interfere with the Not Just New Movies podcast. Is that okay with all members of the That's What I Am podcast?
Yeah, thanks for inviting me to the Sliver podcast, jerk.
I have no control over guests. I only suggest. I do not engage.
I would see it, but it's not on Instant Watch for some reason.
Yeah, those are always the ones I have to find. I have to, like, I had to send back my copy of The Losers to get Slither before I watched.
Oh, The Losers was pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to watch that, and then, you know, days go by and it's Wednesday, so I need to send it away to get it by the podcast.
Yeah, I am not bumping down Yogi Bear to see that movie again. I saw Slither, I don't know, the year it came out, and I remember it being pretty entertaining.
All right. So, yeah, check that out. I think Ben has X-Men First Class review up. He has another Joseph Gordon-Levitt review up at notjustthemovies.com. So
Escher is in my... Escher's been in my queue for months and is still not available.
Nice, nice. Joe, where can we find you on the internet, as if we already don't know?
You can find me on the new and improved theplayingfieldblog.com.
Boosh.
I just dropped 83 cents a month for that name, so you better take advantage.
Any popular articles elsewhere on the internet this week?
On that one, you know, my Maxim Top 100 review is still kicking butt.
Nice.
Destageddon.blogspot.com. Nice. Coming to an end, there's rumors milling that we're being bought out by Fox and Sean Ryan.
Wow.
Yeah, did you not get that memo in your email?
I'm just a wrestler, dude. I don't read.
If Sean Ryan gets a hold of Destageddon, he's going to cancel it.
Wow.
Because that's all he does is get shows canceled.
So what happens to our contracts? Do we just start playing for, like, the Edmonton Tuskers or whatever that...
Yeah, I think we're going to get...
hockey team's moving to?
I think we're going to get absorbed by one of the...
The Alberta Thrashers, perhaps?
Yeah, like the Ring of Honor or... Legends Pro Wrestling down in Orlando.
Oh, I would play with the AFL, no doubt.
Oh, man.
Anything at CamelClutchBlog.com, Joe?
Yeah, I also, I'm still doing stuff at CamelClutchBlog.com with my good friend, Eric Gargiulo.
Ah.
Doing Impact write-ups, doing some news breaks, and the top 10 wrestling hotties.
Oh, yeah. You broke the news that WWE Diva... whatever you want to call her, monster.
Karma.
Karma was pregnant. So
yeah,
nice job on that. I don't know how you knew that before everybody else, but I'm going to assume you're the father.
It's the same way John Cena and The Rock knew that Osama bin Laden was allegedly killed on May 3rd.
No, he
allegedly.
Wasn't killed. He was compromised to a permanent end, Joe.
Compromised to a permanent end. I hope WWE
release, right?
in the next few years makes a movie where John Cena plays... you know, Lieutenant Gunner or something, and goes on a one-man mission to track down Osama.
No, the movie's going to be called To a Permanent End.
Okay,
yeah.
A Samuel Goldwyn film.
Yeah.
And a good message that terrorism never wins.
Stanley as Osama bin Laden.
That's what I am, a terrorist.
Yeah, you can find me at thesolarsentinel.blogspot.com. Still at Blogspot, what's up? And, yeah, that's it. So, hope you enjoyed our review of That's What I Am. We're bloggers, Joe and I.
That's what we are.
That's what we is.
That's what I are.
That's what they be.
Yeah, they be.
So, yeah, you want to go to an AFL game? Let's go.
No, I have to watch the softball team tonight.
Gainesville Growlers.
Gainesville, I think we have the Ocala Peppers semi-pro football team. Literally anyone
The Stark Comanches.
Literally anyone with a 7-day-old hernia and AIDS check can sign up.
Literally. All right, well, thanks, Panther, for coming on. Hopefully people listen to this. Leave your comments, send your emails. And
yeah, screw you, you pencil neck geek.
That's right. I'm not going to rough you up.
That's right, I'm making fun of you.
Yeah, well...
Nerd.
I'm a star, so I'm not going to fall for that.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
I'll go to the papers if I have to.
You remember me when the west wind moves upon the fields of barley. You forget the sun this jealous sky as we walk in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while.